The sermon this afternoon will be about the keys of the kingdom of heaven, as also taught in the Heidelberg Catechism, based on Scripture, in Lord's Day 31. But in reference to that, I'd like to read first a passage of Scripture where we learn about unfaithful church leaders, unfaithful shepherds. And then we'll read Psalm 23, and then we'll also read a little section of Matthew 18 about the process of ministering to each other in church discipline. So first, Jeremiah 23. We could have also chosen Ezekiel 34. But Jeremiah 23, we'll read the first 8 verses. Hear the word of the Lord. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lives, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And then we go to Psalm 23, where, of course, we are pointed to the Good Shepherd himself, where David testifies, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then let's just read also Matthew 18, verse 15 to 22 for a moment. Matthew 18, 15 to 22. Here we have God's word. Jesus is teaching. He says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto you, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. So far the reading, and our text for the service is from Matthew 16, verse 19a, where we have these words where Jesus says to Peter, and thus to the church, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We want to think about what that means as we look at the catechism for a moment. And I invite you to turn with me to Lord's Day 31 as we'll be looking at that. Page 64 in the back of the Psalter. Three questions. Here we are asked, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the Holy Gospel and Christian discipline, or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. Question 84, how is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut? By the preaching of the Holy Gospel. Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation, so long as they are unconverted. According to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. Next question, how is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline? Answer thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who, under the name of Christians, maintain doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, are complained of to the church, or to those who are thereto appointed by the church, and if they despise their admonition, are by them forbidden the use of the sacraments, whereby they are excluded from the Christian church, and by God himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and his church. So we want to think about reasons to be so thankful for the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, if you've ever lost your keys, either to your house or to your vehicle or even to your filing cabinet, you will know how frustrating that is. You don't want to lose your keys, which open and close things valuable to you. Even opening your car so you can get going to where you want to go, or opening your house so you can get in there and relax and rest, etc. We use keys, don't we? In many ways. Also often to lock safe what we would keep. Well, in this post-communion Thanksgiving service, let's think about two keys we never want to lose as Christian church and as members of the church. Two keys we should be and maybe most thankful for when regularly and faithfully used among us. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. I pray God we never lose these keys as church here. Well, let's go into this a bit more. Among all the details of, or among all the countless and most wonderful benefits that Christ gives his people is the privilege of being ministered to in his church by two means of grace. And these two means of grace are called by Jesus the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16:19a, as we saw. And what are these keys? Well, from the rest of Scripture, especially also from Paul's writing, we may clearly know. The one is the faithful preaching of the word. And the other is the loving ministry of Christian discipline. Both these keys are held in the Savior's hands. And he gives these keys to his church, to the leaders thereof, first in Peter and the apostles, and to all office bearers in his church. For to use them in the gospel ministry, in the church, in the life and ministry of the congregation, Each consistory or group of church leaders of any and every faithful church is to take care that these two keys of the kingdom are being made use of from week to week and year to year. In this Thanksgiving sermon after the celebration of the Lord's Supper, our theme is based on the scripture readings and in view of the Bible-based teaching of Lord's Day 31 of the Catechism, minister to in Jesus' name with Christian proclamation and Christian visitation. Or you might say, minister to with the key of Christian gospel preaching and Christian gospel discipleship. And after some explanation of these two keys, the emphasis in the sermon will be, as mentioned in the bulletin, thanks be to God for these two keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys so special, so needed, so helpful, and so blessed. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus mentions giving to the church the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now think of it. Of all the keys in all the world, what can compare to these keys? The spiritual keys which open and shut the door to the kingdom of heaven. You know, when we're not saved, we're really interested in keys. Keys to that car, if we finally can get our own car and keys. Or keys to our own apartment, our own house. Or keys to our own business. But what can compare with keys of the kingdom of heaven? And thinking more in particular about these two keys, what are they? Well, the Bible-based explanation of the Catechism explains, the first and main key is, yes, the preaching and proclamation of the Word of God. With this key of the regular preaching of the gospel, you know what? The way to heaven is declared and freely offered in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. At the same time, with the faithful preaching of the Word, the warnings about hell and eternal judgment for all who remain unbelieving and unrepentant are earnestly proclaimed as well. Each time, dear congregation, we are under the preaching of the gospel, either the kingdom of heaven goes a little further open for us, or it becomes a little further shut to us. What happens for you under the preaching of the word? Is the kingdom of heaven open to you or shut to you? The word of God is a two-edged sword, cutting both ways. And as Paul says, it functions either as a savor of life in repentant believers or a savor of death in hardened unbelievers. Always the gospel key of preaching, when faithfully used, turns in both directions, bringing us either in the kingdom of God or else blocking us out from the kingdom of God. As one put it, faith in Christ makes all the difference. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? I say, what a blessing, dear congregation, to be most thankful for, having the regular, faithful preaching of the gospel word, serving as key among us to the kingdom of heaven. For you, and for me. Listen again just to the Heidelberg Catechism as it explains this first key of gospel preaching. How is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel? Answer, thus, when according to the command of Christ, it is declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted, according to which testimony of the gospel, God will judge them both in this and in the life to come. What should be stressed with this first and main key of the preaching of the gospel is the emphasis and urgency with preaching on opening the door of the kingdom of heaven, pleading by all means in Jesus' name that the preaching not result in shutting the door of the kingdom of heaven to anyone. The emphasis of preaching is that the door be opened. Christ himself is the door. Does everyone here realize this and experience this also in the preaching from the pulpit, from this pulpit? Kingdom of heaven being open to us. That's the focus with the preaching in Jesus' name, isn't it? And the calling and drawing sinners and believers to Christ initially and repeatedly to receive from him freely and fully forevermore all the blessings of salvation through his finished work on sinners' behalf. There is a way to heaven through our surety, even for the vilest of sinners who relies on him, who repents of sin and believes on him. In all your needs, whether in regards to repentance or faith or faithfulness in obedience and witness and service, we may look to Christ to find everything we need from him. As we heard also this morning and this afternoon a little bit, Christ alone is our surety, the only surety for sinners like us. And we are invited and called to trust and rely on him. Word and sacrament together proclaim, as his gospel message from God's holy word, that he as surety will do everything and give himself totally to be the savior of sinners we need as sinners. The complete Savior, the perfect Savior, from start to finish. I say how wonderful to have the key of the preaching of the gospel open the kingdom of heaven to us, truly and time again. Have you had it before that you sat in church under the preaching and it was as if indeed you were lifted up and you saw how in Christ there is an open door, yes, also for you. Also, even for you and for me. God's people thrive on the preaching of the gospel, ever rejoicing in the open door of the kingdom of heaven, in and through Jesus Christ, and always humbly thankful for this undeserved blessing of no closed door to the kingdom of heaven, which we certainly deserve as sinners of ourselves, as guilty, vile sinners. Look what the Lord has done. That's what the preaching emphasizes in Christ Jesus. And the open door through him. But what if you will not listen well and even are indifferent to the gospel? Well, thanks be to God, there's also this second key of the kingdom of heaven. And that is the key of the exercise of Christian discipline. You could call it the key of true pastoral care. Personal pastoral care shown from within the congregation and by the church office bearers. This is that key that helps guide and guard us as confessing believers and as covenant children and youth raised in the church. Helps guide and guard us in the Christian way, in the Christian life, as to Christian doctrine and Christian conduct. The focus of this key, the second key of Christian discipline, is especially to awaken us in God's ways and to warn us against wrong ways, to minister to anyone who's being indifferent also, who's showing signs even of going astray and of becoming hardened and getting caught up in sinful ways that lead to destruction, if not turned away from it in true repentance and faith. When a person becomes a confessing member of the Christian church here, one of the promises asked, one of the questions asked of him or her that they are to promise, give an answer to and with a promise before God, is this question. Do you confess that it is your heartfelt desire by the strength of the Holy Spirit to love the Lord, to serve him according to his word, to show yourself as a faithful member of the Church of Christ, to join in the edifying or upbuilding of the church, to confess his name in the world, and to submit yourself willingly to the pastoral oversight and discipline of the church. When you become a member here, you say yes to that question. God helping you. And this is what the key of Christian discipline is about. Namely, helping us be true in God's ways. To know what that means in our beliefs and in our conduct. And to urge us to be true. Christian discipline is about the closer personal pastoral ministry of the word from one another and from the church leaders. This ministry takes place in our mutual contacts as church members and in our fellowship, and it takes place with the elders' annual visits and more each year, as well as with the ongoing personal communication from the pastor of the church. Just the other day, I visited someone. And the person said at the end of the visit, "Thanks for coming. You helped bring me closer to God, to the Lord," she said. "You helped bring me closer to the Lord. You couldn't have given me a better compliment or a greater encouragement." Oh, if we may help bring each other closer to the Lord. And that's what the whole second key is about. And if a person is not listening and being resistant to what it means to be closer to the Lord, only when a person continues being indifferent and even unrepentant in his lifestyle or her lifestyle and becomes involved possibly in a public sin and wrongdoing in regards to Christian doctrine or conduct, and after various personal counsel bringing no change to the person, only then does the matter go to the consistory at some point, at which time it becomes official Christian discipline, the second key in an official way. But all the while, the purpose of the use of this key is that the person not be locked out of the kingdom of heaven, but rather be sure to heed his or her ways and to be living as true believer and not as unbeliever and hypocrite in the church. If a person persists, however, in refusing to listen to loving godly counsel and Christian ministry of extra care and prayer for him or her, then eventually, yes, it does result in excommunication from the Christian church. But again, only after much labor of love and prayer and many visitations and following a whole process and procedure. As we read from Matthew 18 also, that the person turn from their sinful ways and not go astray to the road of destruction. If there's no turning, then the key of Christian discipline is used, shutting the door of the kingdom of heaven from a person as long as he or she will not repent of their sinful ways. And while today this whole matter of Christian discipline is not that well known and often not taken that seriously, God takes it very seriously. If a church is faithful in this administration of this second key before God, when someone is no longer a member of the church, excommunicated, then that means not just removed from this church, removed from heaven, except he or she repents. That's serious stuff, congregation. Last Thursday, as consistory, we studied an essay on the key of church discipline by Dr. David Murray, entitled "The Bride's Beautiful Discipline." And in this essay, Dr. Murray states rightly how the ultimate aim also of this key of church discipline is not punishment, is not excommunication, but restoration. And repentance. And here, listen again to the Bible-based instruction about the second key, as expressed in Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 85. How is the kingdom of heaven shut and opened by Christian discipline. And we are given the following answer. Thus, when according to the command of Christ, those who are under the name of Christians maintain, notice, doctrines or practices inconsistent therewith, and will not, after having been often brotherly admonished, renounce their errors and wicked course of life, and are complained of to the church, so that the authorities get involved, the office bearers, those appointed for that role, if they then despise their admonition and are by them also forbidden the use of the sacraments, and they continue in that way, then they are excluded from the Christian church and by God Himself from the kingdom of Christ. And when they show promise of, and when they promise and show real amendment, are again received as members of Christ and His church. Again, dear congregation, consider with me here the privilege of being part of a Christian church where there is shown such brotherly, earnest care and prayer and love for one another. When you and I may be in a body of, in a congregation, in a church, where time and again with the use of the two keys of the kingdom of heaven, we are guided and guarded and goaded in the gracious and glorious way of the gospel of the Lord and all His word. Isn't that something to be so thankful for? That way is called in Scripture the way of the Lord, the everlasting way, as opposed to the way of everlasting death and damnation. Let's thank God this afternoon for the two main keys of the kingdom of heaven, and for us belonging to a Christian church which desires and resolves as humbly and faithfully as possible ever to make use of these two keys of the kingdom of heaven till Christ returns. As I mentioned in the introduction, never does a true church of the Lord want to lose these two keys and the diligent use of them. And always true Christians, if they know what's good for them, will so want to be part of a church here on earth that uses these keys and that cares about them. Question and answer 83 states the testimony of the true church. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Answer, the preaching of the holy gospel and Christian discipline, or excommunication out of the Christian church. By these two, the kingdom of heaven is opened to believers and shut against unbelievers. Now, it's sad to say, but in all too many churches, the first key is hardly there, the preaching of the word. And in still less number of churches is the second key there today, the exercise of Christian discipline. The whole idea of church membership, belonging to the body of Christ, and being accountable, etc. It's just not there. We read from Jeremiah about unfaithful shepherds, unfaithful church leaders. Read it in Ezekiel 34 as well, where the church was being so unfaithful. That's a reality. Let's be thankful when we have a church that wants to be faithful in the exercise of the two keys of the kingdom of heaven. Well, now, let's focus on the second part of this sermon, on thanking God for these two keys of the kingdom of heaven and seeing them as keys so special, so needed, so helpful, and so blessed indeed. That these two keys are so special is not hard to realize when we accept that these two keys, namely the preaching of the gospel and the exercise of Christian discipline, are keys in Jesus' hands. These are keys given to us from the head of the church, who is also the greatest preacher and the greatest pastor of His church. And these keys come to us from the nail-pierced hands of the triumphant Savior of sinners. Just think of it, congregation. If Jesus would not have come to be surety for us, there would be no keys to the kingdom of heaven. We all would just be headed to the door of eternal hell. These keys are special. They come from the Savior, Jesus Christ. He obtained them. They are blood-bought keys. And He gave these keys for His church to demonstrate and promote His care and love for people as He is in heaven, the ascended Savior and Lord. Plus, when you consider that these keys are intended for the opening of the door of the kingdom of heaven, these keys are given to bring us into the kingdom of heaven and to guide and to guard us on all our journey through life, that we may come into the city gates of the eternal city one day in the world to come. Who won't value then these two keys, these golden blood-bought keys for the Christian church, for us to use in gospel ministry, for such as you and me? Who are we, you and I, that we should be so ministered to and cared for by the Lord through His church, by the means of the regular proclamation and faithful pastoral visitation? Why we should be so distinguished in such gracious, tender, loving manner when so many others never get to hear even the gospel message, and countless experience and enjoy nothing of the tender, loving care of the Lord through His church? But the Lord blesses us with that. How thankful we should be. I read recently, again, I'd read it before, but about a godly minister of the last century who wrote when he was first converted, quote, "One of my greatest fears," he says, "of the night I was converted was, can I keep it up? Can I keep it up? I had discovered that God could save me," he said, "but would I be able to keep it up? They were saying in the local pub that I would not be able to keep it up. As soon as they heard I was converted, and I told them all, they were actually laying bets as to how long it would last." You see, I was Mr. Party Hardy among the group. "But you see," went on this man, "I discovered of Christ my Savior and the Good Shepherd of the sheep. He not only saves, but He keeps His sheep. With the psalmist of Psalm 23, I found out His rod and His staff, they comfort me. And praise God," he said, "this I may know and experience. Under His care and keeping, He prepares a table for me in the presence of all mine enemies. And He's all those who want to pull me down and separate me from His shepherd heart and shepherd love, they have to do with Him to be able to get at me." And I say, isn't that so good to know? Dear people of God, trusting and following Christ. And shouldn't we now be so thankful, I say, to our Savior God for also the Lord's Supper, where the Lord would more fully declare to us with holy visible sign and seal all His gospel promises and His ever faithful ministry to us till our last breath, all for Jesus' sake alone. With the two keys of the kingdom of heaven, we are being treated really as princes and princesses, as dear children of the Heavenly Father. By these two keys and the faithful use of them, we are being shown God in His love and care, with the expressed longing and pledge of the Lord as revealed in Christ, that He will so minister to us, each and all who repent and believe. He will take care of us and guide us till journey's end. Oh, people outside of Christ and outside the Lord's church, where can they find such faithful love and care and keeping for both body and soul in life and death and for time and eternity, as we may experience as living members of Christ's church? What further makes it so special, the keys of the kingdom used in God's church, is that it surely is something so needed, isn't it? So needed, our second point. The gospel preaching is food for the soul, of God's people every week again. And it serves by God's sovereign grace and good pleasure as the seed of regeneration in sinners' hearts and lives, also among our covenant seed. To be under faithful gospel preaching is so needed for the true believer, because that preaching time and again, it convicts of sin and it directs to Christ and it guides us in true and ongoing conversion and consecration and service and equipment before the Lord and living to His praise. Without the word preached, do you not experience that too? We can become spiritually starved and famishing and faltering all too quickly. We of ourselves are so prone to wander and to fall that the gospel word of encouragement and correction and direction and admonishment is needed by us, repeatedly so even. In fact, any Christian who suggests he or she doesn't need to be regularly under the gospel preaching is speaking contrary to Scripture itself and showing sad ignorance of our depraved condition and sinful tendency by nature. Not to mention the roaring of Satan, always going about seeking whom he may devour. And what about the glittering world, always out to ensnare us with its pleasures and treasures? God's people know they need the word. So often and easily we can take our eyes off Christ and we go astray. But the preaching is given, dear congregation, to ever keep our eyes on Christ and to continue steadfast in His ways. When people today are negligent to sit under the preached word, that's never a sign of good health. It's not a sign of growing spiritually. It reflects to the contrary, sickness and maybe no spiritual life at all. If we can live without the preached word regularly, we reflect parched spirits and minds, and perhaps even still perishing in our own sins and foolishness, not enlightened by the gospel yet. God's people, when you read the scriptures, they come to realize we live not by bread alone, but by the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and by every word that proceeds out of His mouth as given to us in the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures and the preaching thereof. It's not a healthy sign that today, in general, the church isn't so keen on preaching. The very sickness and immaturity of the church is because there's too little appreciation for the preaching of the word. And then take the second key of Christian discipline or discipleship or pastoral visitation and care. How precious isn't that, really, if you think it through? The Bible itself stresses the importance of caring for one another in closer, personal, true Christian care and prayer. When we read Matthew 18, verse 15 to 21, we learn, as one put it, Christian discipline is not something that was thought up by a legalistic control freak. Rather, it has divine warrant. It's God's own idea. God knows we need it. The Bible compares us to sheep. And that's who we are as His people. We're sheep, and sheep are foolish animals, wandering, wayward creatures. We can be all too often still, can't we? Left to ourselves. And loving Christian discipline and personal visitation is so needed, because if it's not present and not practiced, it can lead all the more quickly to spiritual decline and increasing worldliness in the church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when there's a little decline from Christian doctrine and Christian practice, it soon begins to infiltrate and rot the whole congregation. Just like a little bruise on an apple soon spoils the whole apple. Or one rotten plum in a basket of plums soon spoils the whole basket. Plus, the absence of Christian discipline, it quickly causes that the church lose its gospel witness, its clear gospel testimony. People will say, people, are you trying to be a Christian church? You know what I see people do in your church? And we lose our witness. Ultimately, it is needed Christian discipline for the glory of Christ and for our well-being and for gospel outreach to others. Think too, if you and I are honest, who doesn't need accountability to help us in the good fight of faith? The key of Christian discipline is needed because without it, the consequences are so negative. While with it in place, the consequences may be so positive and so good. I am so grateful, let me say this personally to you, I am so grateful to be under the gospel preaching regularity from my childhood even, and to know I have a church family and consistory who will watch with me and over me, that I be and stay Christ-focused, and that I grow in Christian faith and faithfulness before God and my neighbor. I'm thankful to you that I know if I go astray, you're going to knock at my door and talk to me. It can help us sleep at night to realize if I begin to stray, if you begin to stray from Christian doctrine or Christian conduct, people will come to you and humbly, lovingly, earnestly ask you, what are you doing? Where do you think you're heading? Going down that path and getting involved in this or that sinful or worldly activity or habit. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what the Bible says. And blessed are those who help us keep on keeping on in God's way of grace and truth and godliness, and who by all means don't want us to go astray, to fall away. So please, don't mind if another person of the congregation sees something that you posted that is not God-honoring, even sensuous maybe, or so like the world, and says to you, what are you doing? How is that Christ-like? Don't get offended. Humble yourself. Say, you're right. I'm wrong. Or if someone sees you coming out of an adult-only store and they say to you, what are you doing? Don't get mad. Humble yourself. Be thankful that they care to warn you. Or if they come to your place and they see lots of alcohol, lots of bottles of beer and wine, not that alcohol has to be bad, but the Bible warns often about being not controlling with that substance, and great evil has come because of it. I can give example after example. What are you doing going out for lunch with that person of the opposite sex? What are you doing driving with a woman as a man who's married? What are you doing? To confront each other on these things is only good. Are we humble enough to receive it from one another? We can be so thankful if we will hold each other accountable in love. It's a means of grace and God's favor so special and so needed. These two keys of the kingdom of heaven that the church has and is called to make use of. Listen here to this statement of in approval of church discipline from a Scottish church order booklet, and how it brings out the keys of the kingdom are so special, also the key of church discipline. Church discipline, quote, and admonitions or censures are of great use, writes this church order booklet, and of necessity in the church for several reasons. That the name of God, by reason of ungodly and wicked persons living in the church, be not blasphemed, nor his wrath provoked against his people. That the godly be not leavened with, but preserved from the contagion. And that the congregation be stricken with fear when Ananias and Sapphira were killed because they're lying in the church. We read the church was filled with fear, a godly fear. But also, church discipline is that sinners who are to be censured may be ashamed, convicted, to to the destruction of the flesh and the saving of the spirit in the day of the Lord Jesus. I say, when you think of this all, doesn't this statement bring out the need for church discipline so clearly and inform us that this key of the kingdom in use is to be prized by us and not despised? How sad when people become bitter against the use of this of Christian church discipline, especially when they promise to submit to the care and ministry of the church should it ever be required in our lives. Of course, here, yes, that should be said. The Christian church needs to be faithful in the use of both the keys of the kingdom of heaven and not make the use of those keys in regards to anyone in a high-minded and self-serving, unloving, un-Christ-like manner. Just this week, someone spoke to me, not from our church, how the pastor of the church where she attends just dealt with her so, from her side, and so authoritatively and unkindly and unjustly. It can happen. Church councils can be guilty of that too. This regrettably can happen. And it does happen. And it brings out, doesn't it? Yes, it does. How we each and all need to remember with the use of the keys how much we need God to guide us in that all, both in those who administer the key and those who receive it. How much we need the Lord's help. But when it's made use of well, oh, that is so special and needed. And thirdly, let's notice, it's so helpful. It's so helpful. It's so helpful, the regular preaching of the gospel and the pastoral care with Christian discipline, in that when this is done faithfully, think what that means. When this woman said to me, "You help me be closer to the Lord," that's worth gold. We may help each other be closer to the Lord. What did I do with her? I read scripture. I prayed. I sang. "Thanks for coming, Pastor. You helped bring me closer to the Lord." In that essay of David Murray, well, let me just go back for a minute. You know what, congregation? I want you to help me be closer to the Lord. And I pray that I may be used of the Lord to help you be closer to the Lord. In preaching, yes, but also in pastoral care. And that we as consistory may be used to help each other be closer to the Lord. And in our fellowship, likewise. In that essay of David Murray on the bride's beautiful discipline, he mentions how when it's done faithfully, it's done with great love and with great carefulness and with great courage and with great humility and with great wisdom and with great prayer. Well, if both the key of preaching and of discipline or visitation or discipleship, however you want to call it, are done with great Christ-like love and carefulness and courage and humility and wisdom and prayer, isn't that always only most helpful to us? The two keys of the church are given the church to use to have us literally be led and guided by, shepherded by Christ Jesus himself. So that we live our brief earthly journey in true faith and faithfulness before him. Think of preaching, opening and applying the scriptures to us, showing from week to week new and old gospel nuggets of truth. Really and steadfastly look to Christ and live trusting and following him. There is nothing that can be more helpful to us than such. And consider if anyone is struggling with any sin or temptation to sin, the helpfulness of the second key to guide and to warn and to direct us away from what is evil and to redirect and keep us on the straight and the narrow path that leads to eternal life and away from the broad way that leads to destruction. How helpful the keys of the kingdom are when used rightly to God's honor and for our good. to be a member of a faithful church where the two keys of the kingdom of heaven are made use of as best as possible. That has to be one of the most helpful blessings in all this world. Really? Well, is that all your conviction and testimony as well here this afternoon? Do you say truly and often, thanks be to God for these two keys of the kingdom of heaven, so special, so needed, so helpful, and yes, so blessed? Just to mention this last point, yet so blessed, I ask you and myself, can anything be so blessed and more blessed than being ministered to by God through these two keys of the kingdom of heaven? These two keys that are ministered so that the door of heaven be open to us and that we escape that which brings us to hell otherwise. What can compare to the blessing from God triune to us by the hand of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, having His church rightly administer these keys? The faithful covenant-keeping God desires to minister to His church, to believers and their seed in this special way, in the use of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In our perilous times, all the more how we should praise God for the rich blessing of the use of the keys of the kingdom of heaven in His church. I pray God, as long as this church exists, we never will disregard the use of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Will you help that this church keep the keys? It's as we seek to be faithful in the use of this blessing and responsibility that we will continue as Christian church too in the generations by God's grace, according to His covenant promises, to the end of the world even. Oh, if I gave you the keys to a brand new Corvette or pickup truck or a BMW for you to use, or if I gave you the keys to a new home, a new house to live in, would any of you be so foolish as just to throw away those keys, acting as if they were rather useless and of no blessing to you whatsoever? I doubt it. Well, in a far greater way, let none of us live and act as if the keys of the kingdom of heaven are basically useless and of no interest or benefit to us, to you and me. You know, sometimes confessing believers and covenant people raised in the church, as they grow up, they turn out so acting. What are these keys of the kingdom? I don't even want these keys. And nothing could be more blind and disheartening and ungrateful and wicked, really. How terrible if in the day of days you see the Savior who has the keys of hell and death, according to Revelation 1 verse 18. You see the Savior turn the key of the kingdom of heaven's door forever closed, shut to you, while the key to the pit of hell be opened and you be cast in there. Then when you scream in terror and regret and knock and call in panic, it will be forever too late. And you will be left outside in the blackness of darkness and divine righteous judgment forevermore. You know that when Christ returns, hell's door will be opened and all unbelievers and hypocrites and wicked will be thrown in there. The door will be shut and the key will be thrown away. There'll be no escape. It'll never be opened again. But for God's people who trust the Lord, who value the keys of the kingdom of heaven, you know what? They get to go to heaven where there's no key at all, because there's no more danger. We don't need the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When we get to heaven, we are in the presence of the Word incarnate in glory, and there's no danger there anymore. Revelation speaks of no doors shut there. We don't need it anymore. Where are you headed? Where am I headed? What are we doing with the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The keys. God forbid any of us would respond in a way that we would be cast out forever. The keys of the kingdom of heaven are given that we might trust and obey the gospel and live to our God, to His praise. What a Savior and ministry and care the gospel of God declares to us in word and sacrament with the two keys of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, dear God, triune God, for giving these keys to your church and for blessing us in a church where we want to use these keys faithfully. Lord, bless the use of these keys. And may we live relating to others if you want to be under real, faithful care for body and soul, for now and forever. Come to the Savior, who is the surety of all who come to Him, and who has given two keys to bless us through the whole of life till we get home to glory. May God so bless the preaching and the key of Christian visitation and discipline. In Jesus' name, amen.